you love that hymn.
I love that hymn. Why do we love it? Because we love God's church, God's kingdom, God's truth, God's people, don't we? We really do. Church is not a building. I don't love this building. Wood, hay, and stubble. We love God's people. Don't you love what we're doing here? How amiable. Isn't this an amiable tabernacle? Lovely place to be. Would you would rather be anywhere else than here? With anyone else? Irene's just smiling from ear to ear. She's been away like David was in that song. He was away for a while. And I bet you envied the birds in the rafters here. Oh, my. Her heavenly ways. Prize her heavenly ways. Oh, he's made us sit in heavenly place, hasn't he? Among princes. I was looking at Colossians and glanced over across the page at 1 Thessalonians. That's the reason I use a book, a Bible, not a device. I like a book. I can give you 100 reasons not to use a device. But anyway, this is one of them. You glance over the page. One time the wind blew. I left my Bible laying down at night open, and the wind, something blew at the page, and I came in. It's just what I needed. But I looked at 1 Thessalonians, and it was such a blessing to me. Paul's letter to this church, he was giving thanks for them, and it just made me, oh, I just love it. This is my feeling toward you. Paul, in Ephesians 3, he thanked God for the whole family in heaven and earth, the whole church everywhere. We love God's people everywhere. And you start thinking about the brethren in Crossville or where Kingsport or wherever. You just well up, don't you? Think about various ones. We love them. We love God's church. That means all of God's people. But if he's made you a part of this assembly, local assembly, brought you here, brought me here to you, and brought you to me, brought us to him. And here we are. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. This church, Paul is praying for and writing to Thessalonica. He's given particular thanks for them. Verse 1, Paul and Silas and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians. Paul and Silas and Timothy traveled a lot together, preaching the gospel. They went everywhere. I used to do that. We used to do that. John Chapman and me. And we'd go various places. It was, oh, that was so enjoyable. We came down to Rocky Mount, Virginia, and stayed in a home with some people called Berries, the Berries. They lived up in the mountains in a home with no heat. But, oh, we had such a good time. Would you take anything with that? John and I, what do you think John and I are talking about the whole way we're driving? Disciples went out two by two. Talk. Kelly and Gabe and I, one time years ago, went down to Kingsport and preached for a group of people, small group of people meeting in an old converted, an old school building. And that is now the Sovereign Grace Church of Kingsport, Tennessee, where Gabe Stoniker is pastor. You remember that, Kelly? Wasn't that a good time? Lord, use that. Paul and Silas and Timothy went to Thessalonica, and Lord raised up a church there. In God, verse 1, it says the church in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. In his heart, in his mind, in his love, in his thoughts, in his will, in his purpose, in his covenant, in his kingdom. Why? Because he chose us. We didn't choose him. We're going to talk about election in a minute. I ain't talking about a doctrine. We're talking about God in great love and mercy and grace choosing
me and not choosing someone else. Why?
Oh, in God the Father, in His family, born of God, born of His Spirit, in His hands. Aren't you glad we're in His hands? My times are in His hands. Aren't you glad? The world doesn't know that. The world doesn't want it that way. They want their destiny and everything about them in their own hands. I don't. Thank God He revealed to me one day that I am in His hands. And in Him I live and move and have our being. I don't want it any other way. Do you? In His hands. Oh, man. Everything about me. You know, you have a wife or a husband or a son or a daughter or a loved one, whoever that you love very dearly, and you think about them and they're on your mind and in your thoughts, and you can hardly go a day without thinking about them, and you do everything you could for them. You love them, don't you? That's
our Father in heaven. Think about it.
If we only knew. If we only knew. If my children, grandchildren, only knew how much I love them. Oh, my. How much more, Heavenly Father, if we only knew. It gives us such joy, such peace, such comfort. No fear. We'd have no fear. If we knew, perfect love casts out fear. If we only knew how much God loves us, His people, in Christ, we would have no fear. That's why our Lord said to those disciples,
how is it that you have no faith? I left heaven and came here for the likes of you. And I have fed you and clothed you and cared for you and taught you and led you and protected you and done everything for you every waking hour of every day for you. And how is it that you could not trust me for 30 minutes?
That's right. If we only knew. No fear. No fear. Well, He says, grace be unto you. I'm going to get stuck here. Grace. I love to talk about grace, don't you? You love to hear about grace? This is to God's people. Grace be unto you. He's the God of all grace. Salvation by grace. Everything's by grace. What do we have not received? Everything's by grace. Man can receive nothing except it's been given from him from above. Grace be unto you. Sovereign electing grace. Oh, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to as He hath chosen us in Christ. The children being not yet born, either having done any good or evil. The purpose of God according to election must have. It was said, I choose that one. Who? Jacob. Have I loved. Now, nothing and no one can change that or do anything. Election. Sovereign electing grace. Predestinating grace. Aren't you glad He's predestinated everything? Aren't you glad there's nothing left to chance or luck? Nothing outside of His will and purpose? Predestinating grace. Accepting grace. Accepting grace. We're accepted in the beloved. Accepted. Totally. Completely accepted in the beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Him. Redeeming grace. Oh, we can't pay for one thing we've ever done.
Jesus Christ paid it all.
Redeeming grace. That's a gift. It's not works. It's grace. Forgiving grace. Revealing grace. Sealing grace. Sealed. Sealed. Pitched all over. Pitched. Where are you, Sarah? There you are. Pitched. Aren't you glad, thankful for pitching grace? Oh, keeping grace. Kept. We're kept by the power of God. What's that?
It's who? It's Christ, the power of God.
Of which the gospel speaks. Restraining grace. Oh my. what the Lord restrains us from. Constraining grace. Yes, by grace you're saved. Right? Yes, it is. By grace you're saved. And in the ages to come, you know what he's going to do? He's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ. For throughout eternity, he's going to show up. Look what I've done for you. Do you remember old David sitting on his throne? And he said, is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And they said, well, yes, as one, he's lame, or he can't come, he won't come. And he's down in Lodabar, nowhere. You don't need him. So David said to two of his men, strong men, and God the Father says to two of his strong men, mercy, truth, go fetch that man. Righteousness and peace, pick him up, bring him to me. I'm going to show him kindness for Christ's sake. And he's going to sit at my table from now on for Christ's sake. You see why people use that term in blasphemy and people of the world, for Christ. Oh. Our salvation is for Christ's sake. Got to take off our shoes when we say that. You know? Grace, yes, grace and peace. Peace from God our Father. Those in Christ, those in God have peace. God is our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. God hath made him our Lord. Peace from God our Father. There is no peace for the wicked. This world's not at peace. Our Lord said you'll hear wars and rumors of war. Why? Because man's at war with God and God is angry with man. And there's not going to be any peace on this earth. False preachers are going to promise peace, but there's not going to be any. Our Lord said there's not going to be any peace. God is angry with the wicked every day. Well, why is he at peace with me? Because Jesus Christ made peace for me with the blood of his cross. That's why. There's no other reason. I didn't make my peace with God. Christ made peace for me, Brother Kevin, did he? Oh, my. God's not angry with me. Why? He took out his anger on his son. He poured out his wrath on his son. Do you understand that salvation is substitution? This is the gospel. We have peace with God. Peace. Remember, I had 100 scriptures to turn to. Things like this. He said, you were enemies and in your own mind by your own wicked work. He says, you were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved you. Who? His enemy. Strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, the covenant of promise, no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who are afar off, said, bring him, fetch him. Fetch him from the east, west, north, New York. Can anything good come out of New York? The west, California, that's like Mars. Yes, God's had a people everywhere. We're all strange. We're all from Mars. South, bring my people. Fetch them by the gospel. Grace, all God's grace is for them. Peace with God forevermore. Peace that Christ left with us and peace that Christ giveth to us. Not as the world giveth. Things can take it away. But you can't take away this peace. And it will pass understanding. Oh, my. So he says in verse 2, and this is the title and subject, we give thanks to God always for you all. Thank God for you all. Thank God for this church. Thank God for his church, his kingdom, his people. Thank God. Give him thanks to God for you all. Paul prayed for them all. Brother John mentioned Sister Barbara. And I'm ashamed that I hadn't thought of her in a little while. Anybody guilty? Anybody? Everybody. We're all guilty. No. But aren't you glad that the Lord remembers that? He'll never forget it. The whole world wanted that thief on the cross dead, forgotten, out of mind. And that thief turned to our Lord and said, Lord, remember me. And little did he know, Irene, he had that man graved on the palms of his hand. He was right there, and those nails were in his hands for that man right there. Remember you, I'll never forget you. You're going into glory with me right now. But I do want to remember my brethren, don't you? Some time ago, I started writing names down, writing a list of people down so I won't forget them. I look at it before I start to pray, and I pray for them. Every one of you. Try to remember every name. If I close my eyes, you know, I wish you could stand up here. I really wish you could stand up here and me sit down there. But I can think of various ones where you are. I close my eyes and think, there's Kelly, there's Robin, there's Ed and Jeanette, and Yvonne and Mary and John, Erlene and John and Irene, and Sister Mindy, right there. Ron and Tammy and Vicky and Mother and keep going. I pray for you. Bring up your name. Paul said, pray for all of you. That means something, doesn't it? Our Lord does. He said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for those that thou hast given me. He ever lives to make intercession. Father, think about that, sister. Think about that. Our Lord says, Father, Jeanette is going through this. Father, Ron's having this surgery. I know I'm speaking like a man, but that's the truth of the matter. Give thanks to God always for you all. Thanks to God. He thanked God for everyone over and over and over again. Look at chapter 2, verse 13. He says, this cause we thank God without ceasing. When you received the word of God, you heard of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you, you that believe. And down in verse chapter 3, verse 9, what thanks can we render to God again for you all? In the second letter, he says, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. Salvation through sanctification of spirit, belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. See his glory. Oh, he always gave thanks. You'll never catch this preacher or any true preacher standing up thanking people to come to God's house. This is a high honor and a privilege and a heavenly calling, a holy calling. Oh, no, we're glad, we're bound to give thanks to God for bringing us here. If he left us to ourselves, we wouldn't come here. We wouldn't give him a thought. Bound always to thank God for you, brethren, beloved Lord, because God chose you. And blessed is the man whom thou choosest and does what? Causes to approach unto thee. Those that are far off want nothing to do with him. But God. Bring him here. Bring him back. Bring him back. Thank God. Thank God for you. Thank God for you all. Making mention of you in our prayers. Verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, all that's done for the cause of Christ and the gospel. The work of faith. It's not duty. Whatever it is. Everything done. And Colossians said, whatever you do, Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever your hand finds to do it with all your might. How? As unto the Lord. And, you know, we give, we do things, serve the body, not because we should or because it's duty. No, it's love. It's called a labor of love, the cause of Christ. What does the gospel mean to you? Brother Walter, we've been supporting him for years, and Brother Cody, what is that worth? Well, some of you have been down there, haven't you? It's invaluable, isn't it? Went down to the heathen. There's a story I've told you before. A man named Feliz. Feliz in Spanish means happy. Well, it was a remote jungle village down in the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico. And Brother Walter would go out like a pioneer and just start driving these back roads, one lane, terrible road, until he'd find a village and he'd ask if he could preach in it, just start preaching in the town square, just like the apostles did. And the Lord raised up churches. But anyway, one time he was driving up one of these roads and a man was standing, Stephen, a man was standing in the middle of the road with a shotgun. And he's aiming at that truck. Some gringo coming up into their village. And Walter said, oh. And the man came up to his window. He said, who are you? This happened. And he said, I'm a preacher of the gospel. He said, I've come up here. I want to, if I can, preach the gospel to this village. And the man, tears started running out of his eyes. He said, my name is Feliz. He said, I've been praying to God that he would send someone up here to tell me the truth.
That happened.
That's a labor of love. And is that worth it? Is that so? We're going to see Feliz. He was unhappy. He said this. Feliz said to him, he said, God killed my daughter. Would you tell me why? I need to know why. He wasn't happy. But when it was over, old Feliz was real happy. He heard the truth. He heard the gospel. Feliz. Work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. Patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope. Faith, hope, and love. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. Labor of love. We do what we do by God's grace out of love. Love for God, love for Christ, for his great love for us. Amen. Hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have hope, don't we? We have great hope. A good hope through grace. And we endure trials. We all go through them. All of us. Patience of hope. Waiting on our Lord. Waiting. In verse 3 it says, it's all in the sight of God and our Father. In the sight of God. And another place it says, God is not unfaithful to forget your works, your labor. Mm-mm. He sees it all. Didn't he say, a cup of water. You give a cup of water and you'll receive a disciple's reward. Didn't it? John gave me water this morning. He's been faithful to do that for years. One time he was gone, I had no water. I need water. He'd been doing that faithfully. John says, that's no big deal. It is to me. And it is to God. You care about me. You want me to have water, don't you? Thank you, brother. Thank you. Lord, The Lord acknowledges everything. It's not merit. I had to say that again. I just did. It's not works. But see, God's not like us. We might forget to give somebody thanks. Because we're so self-centered. Not him. I keep telling people that whatever they do, God will honor that. He'll honor that. He'll honor that. Yes, he will. He does. He's just. He's righteous. He's faithful. It's all in the sight of God. Our Father. Knowing, brethren, verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Knowing your election. Now, election, we know it's true, don't we? We know it's true. We love it, the truth of election, because it is who God is. This is the difference between the God of the Bible, the God of the universe, and the false God, who's not God. Our God purposes all things. Our God chooses whom he will. Our God does as he will. In the armies of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth. Our God purposed all things before the foundation of the world. Known unto God all his work from the beginning of the world. Foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Why? He chose them. This is what makes God God. And this false God, he's no God at all. You must elect him. He's running for office. And he's trying to pay for votes. That's right. Man, bribing him. I'll come to church if you do this, if you do that. Oh, thank you for coming. No! God chooses a bunch of nobodies to the praise of the glory of his grace. Ones who would never choose him. He chose them. And they all know it. They all know it. They know it. They know it that God chose me. Blessed be his holy name. Blessed be the sovereign electing God who chose me. They all know it. Salvation depends on it. It's election unto salvation. Salvation started this way. Yes, it did when God chose a people and gave them to Christ before the foundation of the world and put their names in the palms of his hands and put their names on his shoulder and on his breastplate. He said, now you go save them all. Every single one I've given you, bring them all in. Those are my chosen. I've given them to you. They're not their own. They're bought with a price. Save them. He did it. Salvation began that way and it ends with that way. Every single one of God's elect is going to be brought in. Christ is going to say, behold, I and the children that thou hast what? Given me, all present and accounted for my sake, for Christ's sake. A doctrine? All right, look at what he says here. Knowing your election. You can't read the book. You can't look into the book. You can't find your name in the book. But Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You can know your election by the call. I just read it to you in 2 Thessalonians 2. He called you by our gospel. Sanctification of spirit. He set you apart. From your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, set you apart and called you by the gospel. Our gospel. Called you. And you heard it. And they didn't. Like Jacob and Esau. Like Cain and Abel. You heard it and not your brother. You heard it and not your mother. And that... Amen. He says, our gospel came unto you. Our gospel, the gospel. And I was going to turn to Romans 1, I was going to turn to Ephesians 1. I've been quoting Ephesians 1. Ephesians 2, Romans 3, Romans 10, on and on it goes. Turn anywhere. Our gospel. This gospel today is not the gospel. It's another. It's a perversion of the gospel. Man's choice, man's will, man's work. Man must cooperate. Salvation is not cooperation. It's an operation of God. Salvation is not the work of man. It's the work of God. Salvation is not the will of man. It's the will of God. Salvation is not man accepting God. It's God accepting man. It's a vast difference. Daylight and dark. Life or death. Salvation and damnation. Our gospel. This gospel. This rare gospel. That so few believe today. This wasn't your gospel at one time, wasn't it? This wasn't your gospel, was it, when you were in Methodism? This wasn't the gospel when they were in Catholicism. You'd believe that other gospel. But God, go fetch that goody two-shoe moral woman that thinks she's saved and sure for heaven if she's already there. Fetch her down here and make her a sinner and stand right beside the worst harlot in town. And let her praise God for saving such a sinner as she is. That's when the gospel comes in power. It doesn't come in word. It wasn't a doctrine. It wasn't a sermon. What a good sermon, preacher. It's life-piercing, heartbreaking, will-crushing, self-loathing power. Gospel preacher doesn't stand up and try to convince anybody of anything. He just declares the gospel, just declares who God is, just declares who Christ is, declares what we are, and the Spirit of God comes with a sword in their bones and pierces them. Simon Peter stood up at Pentecost that day and preached Christ high and lifted up, and they said, "You killed him, all of you. Now you're in his hands to do with. He might save you, might not." And Simon Peter sat down. Didn't ask anybody except Jesus. That's another gospel. It's not the gospel. They sat down. What happened? The Spirit of God took that gospel in power and broke 3,000 hearts. And they all said, "What are we going to do? We've killed the Son of God. We've lived all our life without a thought to the Son of God in whose hands we are, our souls, our breath. We haven't given him a thought. We haven't thanked him for anything all these years. And now our breath is in his hands. What can we do?" He said, "Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And confess him. Be baptized. Be saved." That it? That's it. Because he's done it all. Paid for every one of those sins you committed. Paid for all that unbelief, all that rebellion. Paid for it all by his precious blood. Now, bow at his feet. Ask him to forgive you. And trust him. That's good news, isn't it? That good news? Who's that good news for? Our gospel. Gospel means good news. Who's that good news for? A sinner. You may come to your deathbed worrying about your salvation. It just may happen. It happens a lot. What is your hope? Have I done enough? No, you haven't. Have I believed enough? No, you haven't. What's your hope? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on the Lord Jesus Christ's name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Come what may, standing on Christ the rock, you'll not fall. And he'll say, "Everybody that trusts him, come, you blessed of my Father. Come on in." That's good news. Isn't that good news? That's the best news I've ever heard.
Amen.
There is no gospel that leaves anything dependent on us. And it comes in power. Person says, I was saved years ago when I came to a knowledge of the doctrines of grace. No, you weren't. You just learned Calvinism. Nobody that's ever been saved says that. Saul of Tarsus didn't say, well, one day on the road to Damascus, I came to the knowledge of the doctrines of grace. Saul. And he came off his high horse, hit the dust, blinded. Paul said, I was apprehended. He laid hold of me. Like old Jacob, and the Lord came to Jacob and wrestled with him and changed everything about him. Changed his name, changed the way he walked. Now, that ain't a knowledge of the doctrines of grace. That's just coming to see who the Lord is. My pastor used to always say this, and these knowledge fellas, these Calvinists only, used to get mad at him for saying this. But he said, you don't come to Christ through doctrine, you come to doctrine through Christ. When Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ, he suddenly realized, God is sovereign. Christ is sovereign. I'm nothing. I'm a sinner, lost and undone. And if this Lord Jesus Christ doesn't save me, I'm a goner. His knowledge, his thoughts of free will, he thought he had free will. As soon as he met Christ, it's all gone. He said, Lord, what will you do with me? And everybody hears the gospel. They don't hear doctrine. They hear a sovereign God on a throne, a sovereign Christ on a throne. They hear of a salvation that's of the Lord, and undeserving sinner that you be. And it comes with power, doesn't it? Like a hammer, like a fire, like a sword. It comes. You. Thou art the man. I'm the man. And then he shows you the man Christ. Baptized. He that believeth is baptized. Who wouldn't? Those that don't really believe that Christ came and died for them. Those that don't really believe it. Those that came to a knowledge of the doctrines of grace. Nah. They won't be baptized. That old Naaman the Syrian, he said, do I have to get in that muddy water? Yes, you do. Boy, he sure glad he did. Well, and the Holy Ghost, look at verse 5. I got to quit. Wish I didn't have to quit. Verse 5, came in power and the Holy Ghost. What does the Holy Ghost do? He doesn't make... All this stuff today is phony. It's fake. It's bogus. It's a sham. It's a put on. It's demonic. It's another spirit. It's not the Spirit of God. All this talking like blah, 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 blah. That's fake. They didn't talk like that in the Bible. The apostles didn't talk in an undiscernible language. They spoke the wonderful works of God in everyone's language. The gospel. The Holy Ghost... It's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, and what he does, our Lord said in John 16, he'll take the things of mine and show them unto you. He'll convince of sin, because they don't believe me. Of righteousness, because I am the only righteousness. I go to the Father. And of judgment. That if Christ doesn't do something for you, you're going to face the judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And he takes the things of Christ to his people, to his disciples, and he shows them Christ. He keeps pointing them to Christ. The Holy Spirit keeps showing his elect people Christ, 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 Christ. Keep pointing, like a family album, you know. You don't show that. I don't run around the neighborhood and say, look at my daughter's picture. Look, no. But my friends, my family, look. If you love my daughter, I love you. And I show you. And he shows us pictures. Doesn't he, sister? Shows us pictures. And we all say, oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Look at it, he's beautiful. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Keep showing us Christ. Holy Ghost. And I quit with this. And much assurance. When the gospel comes, in power, he will give you, because the gospel is his word, is his truth, is his voice. It's his voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice. And when it comes, he comes in power. He will give you much assurance. Now listen to me. Listen. Assurance is not being sure of yourself.
It's being sure of him. It's being sure of him. The salvation's in him. Okay?
Our Lord asked the disciples one time, he said, whom do men say that I am? They said, well, some say you're this, some say you're that. He said, who do you say that? And Simon Peter, he couldn't help himself. He said, we believe, no, we're sure that thou art the Christ. You know what Christ meant, don't you? The Son of the living God. God manifested. We're sure. Oh, you know what I'm sure about? Me and you, we're a bunch of sinners and nothing at all. But you know what? Jesus Christ is all in all. I'm sure of that. So you can have complete assurance, full assurance, if all your assurance is in Christ, is trusting him. And he went on to say, and to wait for his son. And now you're just waiting on his son to come get you. That's what we're doing. Why did we come here? Worship God's son. That's why we're here. Yeah. Thank God. We're not in religion. Thank God we're not in religion playing a game. Worshiping his son. Worshiping God in spirit. Rejoicing in Christ Jesus. And no flesh. Get that flesh out of here. And we're waiting on his son. He said he's coming. And he's coming. Trump's going to sound. And the dead in Christ arise. And we're going to meet him in there. Won't that be wonderful? Thank God. Okay, let's sing a closing hymn.